Technorama, episode 311 for June 22nd, 2011. Disgusting and disappointing.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where did all the sysadmins from United Airlines end up after last Friday's glitch?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 22nd, 2011. This is the show that takes a lot of a look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm feeling quite fatherly.
I'm not even going to ask what that actually means.
Well, you know, we're recording this on Father's Day.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yeah,
come and on, Julie, man. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, Dad.
We can mess with each other, right?
Yeah.
Did you have a good Father's Day, Craig?
I did. You know, I ended up with Tron Legacy on Blu-ray and Iron Man 2.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
And we watched them both.
We have a story about Iron Man a little later, so hey, hang on to that
and you
thought.
Know what? Hey, wait a minute. And by the way, it had a Father's Day theme. At first, I was like, I told Harrison, we should have watched, The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones, you know, because of the father thing. But then, yeah. I started thinking, well, in Iron Man 2, there was Howard Stark and Tony Stark.
Right? Oh, true, so,
and then, at Tron, Sam Flynn went looking for his dad. I was like, well,
oh, yeah.
Spider-Man, Green Goblin, Hobgoblin.
There was no, what? Okay.
Think outside the box, Craig.
I'm trying.
Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have the latest in wart removal technology, if you believe that. Scientists find the real SpongeBob and a burger made of, well, listen and find out.
Mike's hot dish.
Rock.
Never know what Mike will cook up in his next pot of Mike's Hot Dish.
Come and see what's on the menu at the next generation of radio.com.
Next generation of radio.com.
This is Peggy from Twister Sisters, and tonight you're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama. And I hear this is just going to blow you away.
All right, first up in the show, we have to introduce the team, because this is a team-participating podcast. We have a live audience with us every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to see you there.
Alive they are.
They are alive, because it's Father's Day as we record this. Looking at the chat room, we have Al Bundy, Kal-El, AD Doctor. Oh, that's a spoiler alert!
His
if you
name?
Didn't catch the last Doctor Who.
I haven't seen it yet, thanks.
Ben Vaughn, Claudio M., Captain Rupier, Deb Drup, Gru, Julie, Sarek, M-Frame,
Sark.
Waltarv Bishop, and ZML 2008. The theme tonight, because our chat room does like to change their handles around all the time, the theme is fathers. It could be fictional fathers, could be TV fathers, whatever.
Yeah.
So we've got Father's Day.
Yeah.
Looking to our birthday calendar, we have a happy birthday on, wow, I can't figure out what month this is. June 22nd, Lance Heath. Jack Stevens is also on the same day. June 25th, Mark Shepard from Wichita, Kansas, which would mean he now turns 54. Ooh, sorry, dude.
Don't rush it.
Also on June 25, Jim Gookin from Philadelphia. Happy birthday. June 26th is Patrick Norton. Almost played his promo too, but he's not doing DLTV anymore. And Daughter of the Will Guy, same day, June 26th. Happy birthday to all of you. I hope you have a great birthday. And if you're not on the birthday calendar, why not head over to our wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki or click on the wiki link on the website and add your name, and we will give you a friendly shout out at the same time.
Because just like birthdays, everyone's got opinions.
No. For the 26th, I think you meant Daughter of Will the Computer Guy.
What did I say?
You said Daughter of the Will Guy.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the correction. That's why Julie's here. Yeah, my eyes read it. My brain, I don't know.
That's the first thing to go, Chuck.
What goes first?
Your eyesight.
Oh, how that hearing went.
Well,
which would make podcasts, especially audio podcasts, a little boring if you hear it.
What is that Evo says? Podcasting, you are now irrelevant. No,
we are now attention radio.
Yeah.
We haven't played that one in a while. Maybe another time.
Yeah.
On this day in history for June 22nd, 2011, it was on this date in 1783 that a poisonous cloud caused by the eruption of the Laki volcano in Iceland reaches Le Havre in France.
And the Soviet Union launches the R-12 missile for the first time today in 1957.
R-12, isn't that like your insulation factor or something?
I thought they use that in air conditioners now.
June 22nd, 1978 is when Charon, a satellite of the dwarf planet Pluto, is discovered by American astronomer James Christie.
And Virgin Atlantic Airways launches its first flight from London Heathrow Airport just 27 years ago.
And 8 years ago, the largest hailstone ever recorded falls in Aurora, Nebraska.
And Eastman Kodak Company announced that it will discontinue the sale of Kodachrome color film, including its 74-year run as a photography icon, today in 2009.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to British explorer George Vancouver. What town could have been named after him? He was born on this date in 1757.
New York. Cosmonaut Yuri Ardugin.
Good luck with that.
Was born today in 1930.
James Bjorken, the theoretical physicist, is now 77.
And actress Lindsay Wagner, the Bionic Woman from the 70s show of the same name, turns 62.
Star Trek Voyager's Tuvok, actor Tim Russ, turns 55 today.
And finally, actor Bruce Campbell turns 53.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 22nd, 2011. All right, we have a little quick feedback from Digital Dan Hook. We were going through the birthday calendar last week. He's from The Hook Show. And he said, first of all, thanks for the birthday greeting. For clarification on your podcast, my brother, ASCII Adam, get it? Digital Dan, ASCII Adam, have similar birthdays. I named my podcast Hook Show after my last name to encourage the participation of my family for content. Then maybe we should have called this Tomasi Rama.
Yeah. Well, there is more Tomasi's than steps on here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. How many steps does it take? Never mind. That's a...
Yeah.
I'm sure he's heard them all with a name like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a stepson.
Good news, everyone!
Oh, we've got news this week.
Hey, by the way, I'm also a stepfather.
yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Step husband?
That didn't quite work, but yeah.
First up in the news, a village renamed itself. And they named it after the sponsor, which donated lots of money. The village has been renamed to snapdeal.com.
Snapdeal.
As a show of gratitude for donating $5,000 worth of water pumps, a remote Indian village changed its name to snapdeal.com, mirroring that of their Groupon-esque benefactor. From TechCrunch, Snapdeal has adopted a remote village in India and enabled clean drinking water facilities for its people by installing manual pumps. To show their gratitude, the village's residents have decided to rename their village to Snapdeal.com Nagar, actually taking the company by surprise. Snapdeal.com CEO Kunal Bal tells me the goal has always been to build a socially responsible organization, and that the decision to provide clean drinking water for the village came from a conversation with one of its 500 employees in the hallways. That's pretty bizarre, and that's why it caught my eye.
It caught your eye?
What do you think we have to do to get a town to name themselves ChuckChat.com?
Technorama.
Welcome to the booming town of Technorama, Lower Slobovia.
I tell you what, I'll give the mayor a call and see what I can do.
What?
Hey, I was listed as a famous person from Rock Hill on Wikipedia for a couple of months.
You were the famous person?
No, not the famous person, a famous person.
Who else was on the list?
There's some, I have to get a look, but there's some football, a couple football players, and, oh man, my mind went blank.
And a character from some book that never really sold a whole lot of copies.
The guy, why can I not remember this? The guy that made Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Oh.
You mean the guy who made the cereal or the characters?
My mind's blank. No, the guy that made the characters.
And tonight is different from any other night, how?
Why can I not think of that?
Well, you're working on that, or you're Wikipediaing that. I'm going to go into the next story. SpongeBob is real! Did you know this? Scientists found SpongeBob. Actually, I don't quite understand these scientists, because I know that scientists aren't normally very good at naming things, because they used to name planets really cool names.
Mm-hmm.
But now, they name them like NGC 1701D, and... So, what do they do? They go out and they find a fungus and name it SpongeBob.
Oh, come on.
It's fungus. Not even a sponge.
Yeah, I agree.
It's shaped like a sea sponge. The bright orange and sometimes purple mushroom, Spongiforma squarepantsii, honest to goodness, that's the scientific name they gave it, was discovered in the forests of Sarawak, Malaysia, on the island of Borneo in 2010. And just described in May of the Journal of Mycology, okay, whatever that is, study of funguses and spores and stuff. It's just like a sponge with these big hollow holes, Desjardins said. When it's wet and moist and fresh, you can wring out the water of it, and it will spring back to its original size.
Hmm.
Most mushrooms don't do that.
Who got the privilege of naming it?
What lives in a rainforest under a tree?
Hey, yeah.
Spongiforma squarepantsii.
Hey, by the way, I've had soap in the shape of a fish before. Does that mean it's a fish?
You can name it whatever
it's
you want.
It's not even square.
Did it have a rope? It's square. No, fun this guy, looks Bob. More like. I mean, it does look very spongy, and I don't know if there's any relationship between mushrooms and sponges, because, you know, morels kind of look like sponges too,
a little bit.
If I were Nickelodeon, I'd be all over this, going, no, we want to name a sponge after SpongeBob.
Hey, by the way, it was Vernon Grant. My gosh, I don't know why I couldn't remember that, because it's like the first thing they teach you in school here in this area.
Is there a house with a plaque on it?
No, I don't know if his I guess his house is still there. He actually had a golf course here, and he had a farm, and he did I think it was alfalfa sprouts or something like that. He was a pretty big influence in this whole city, and he got his start with doing illustration with the Kellogg's and doing the Snap, Crackle, Pop.
Okay, oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah? Well, we had Harry Houdini, so there. Mm.
I know, because your dad's already told
but
me.
But he escaped.
Oh, yeah.
He escaped. Do they have a plaque on his house and all that stuff?
Probably.
There's a Houdini school, Houdini Plaza.
Houdini Museum.
That's true.
Do they have his house and stuff, or?
No, I think where he actually grew up has been turned into a parking lot or something.
Really?
Oh, wow. I think there was some debate on whether he actually grew up in Appleton or somewhere else.
Well, like he was born in Hungary.
Yeah, Hungary.
I was going to say, he was originally from...
He lived here for a while, but I don't recall which. And there's a few places on the... Anyway, another time, another story. Thank you, Julie. Next story up. California is no longer going to be sending out automatic phone book delivery.
I was wondering how long it would take to do that.
Why?
With the you know, the advent of the internet, and, you know, why would you want to grab a book and look up?
Oddly enough, I had the same thought, because Thursday night I was flying home and I stopped over in O'Hare, mm-hmm. and underneath one of the seats at the terminal at the gate was this big, thick Chicago Yellow Pages book.
Wait a minute. Was it a prop to cheer up?
Wow, there's an artifact. No.
Sorry.
The article we found says, We've long known paper books are on the decline, but now we're seeing the first death knell for the fattest of them all. California Public Utilities Commission has ruled that we will no longer deliver residential phone books unless folks specifically ask for it, a move that's expected to prevent 1,870 tons of material from entering the state's waste stream.
Imagine the cost. Oh my gosh.
Oh, absolutely.
Now they're just taking out the white pages?
No, I think they're stopping delivery of the residential phone books. I mean,
what do we usually get?
The yellow book. It says, Californians, like everyone else, can search the white pages online, but still, they'll still be able to request a paper copy or CD-ROM if they're feeling old-fashioned. Ooh, CD-ROMs are so old-fashioned.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for now, though, the state will continue to ship government white pages and the yellow pages for local business listings.
Hey, wow. we'll get this. At work, there was a bundle that was still shrink-wrapped together of phone books, and I bet there was 10, you know, something like that, 12, something like that in there. They sat there for 2 years.
Yep.
Still in the bundle. I mean, it's like,
I've seen that at work as well.
Yeah, so why? Terrible. Why would you need that?
Why would you need a phone book?
I still use it for, like, if we want pizza or that cabinet. We looked up cabinets.
Hey, Chuck, get your daughter a smartphone.
She's got a smartphone and a laptop.
I can just say pizza. I can say pizza into my phone and come up with three places. It might even order it if I talk nice to it. Wear me a stupid pizza phone.
Next story. Oh, we're on the Hacks and Steam stories, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, right. My favorite part. Hacks and Stray Stories! First one up, we have a wedding cake. Oh, this is lovely.
Yeah, I thought you'd
You found this one, right?
Yeah. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. What's that one's name? I can't remember his name.
Hedonism Bot.
Yeah, that's right.
They even put grapes in his little bowl. From Futurama, if you don't watch Futurama, this is probably going to be as funny, but the Hedonism Bot is the reclining kind of Roman Caesar-esque... Yeah. I think we're... And he talks in a rather...
Dramatic.
Yes. Dramatic flair.
It was a wedding cake. But
this is a wedding cake?
It was a wedding cake.
This is like the opposite of a wedding cake. This does not say I want to spend my life with you.
After the wedding and the reception, there will be a grand orgy.
That's funny.
While we're on the picture thing, you better explain this next one. Where was this taken?
I'm not quite sure, but I think this has to do, it's from overseas where there were some, you know, riots and whatnot.
It looks like a legacy Soviet statue. It's kind of like our Iwo Jima, raising the flag on Iwo Jima. Sorry for those of you who don't understand the American reference, but I'm sure it helps somebody. This is more like, or a sort of George Washington's Crossing the Delaware painting without the boat or the river. It's just a bunch of guys charging with some munitions
a
and guns.
Cannon or something. And...
Yeah. Okay, so you get the basic idea. It's sort of a life-size sculpture of a battle scene where they're rushing into battle or something. Army coats and whatnot. Based on the uniforms, I'd say it's World War II. Probably some legacy. And somebody came up and painted this thing. They painted the statues from their standard gray metal.
I see.
And,
well, go ahead.
Obviously, you can spot in the foreground, here's somebody painted as Superman. All right.
Yeah.
So he went from gray to very blue and red.
And yeah, with the symbol on his chest.
Captain America's in there. I see Robin near the back crouching down. Yeah.
Joker with the big coat.
But what's with Santa Claus and the machine gun? There's one guy with a beard. So what do? They paint him as Santa.
It's one of those realistic versions of the Santa Bot.
Right.
Yeah, Santa Bot.
Oh, ho, ho! Naughty! Happy Day of the Dead! I've got a new flamethrower.
Who's in yellow in front?
I don't know
who that is. Purple must be the Joker.
It looks like the Joker, yeah.
And there's Robin. Lovely before and after picture. You got to see that.
Well, they're kind of, they mixed, you know what? They crossed over here because we got DC and Marvel.
Hey. Oh. It's an integrated society these days. Can't we all just learn to get along?
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, that reminds me of that posting you shared from, what was it, 1969? Charles Schulz got a letter after he posted a... Franklin was doing a report, and Marcy and Peppermint Patty were in the final panel. Yeah. And Charles Schulz gets a letter that says, "Dear sir, your comic strip depicts integrated schools. That's a touchy subject around here. We would appreciate in the future if you did not have mixed cartoons like this again."
Race mixing.
When?
Wow!
This is from 1969.
1969, oh. Someone wrote Charles Schulz after he did a Peanuts cartoon.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
It's hilarious these days.
Yeah.
At least they were polite about it.
Oh, speaking of polite, okay, this has nothing to do with polite. This is an idiot who uses a shotgun to remove a wart from his finger. Yep, that'll take it off, all right.
What?
I'll say this much for the UK security guard who tried to blast off a nagging wart with a shotgun. He succeeded.
Well.
Although I'd imagine he wasn't planning on taking his own finger in the process, meet Sean Murphy, won't you? He's special. The 38-year-old security guard from South Yorkshire was recently sentenced to 16 weeks in prison for using an illegal firearm. I'm surprised he still has an arm. Specifically, a stolen 12-bore Beretta shotgun that he fired off at the plant nursery where he works. His target? A wart that had resided on the top joint of his middle finger for 5 years. The result? Well, let's let Sean explain. He said, "It was hurting a lot and causing my finger to bend. I'd been to the doctors and tried all sorts of things, but it won't go. I'd expect to lose my finger as well when I shot it, but the gun recoiled and that was it. The wart was gone, and so was most of my finger.
What do you think?
There was nothing left, so no chance to reattach it." According to the prosecuting attorney, the attacker slash victim had some drink before the incident, which, no kidding. I don't know that there's a moral
revelation.
I don't know there's a moral to this story, other than shotguns and surgery still don't quite mix.
No, that sounds like some medieval experimentation, you know?
Now they have to put a disclaimer on shotguns.
Do not use for wart removal.
That's it.
That's
You can see 5 years with that same wart.
And you've been to the doctors.
You get frustrated.
Take a knife or something, and suddenly visions of Scott Sigler's infected story come to mind.
Get the triangles out.
Get the chicken scissor.
It's the chicken scissor. You know, I had a little tiny one on my thumb, like on the side. Real tiny. I mean, it was tiny. I went to the doctor. He's like, you know, we can't really use where they'll freeze them. They can't really do that because it was so small. It's like, okay, fine. You know, and I mean, I've had it forever. Well, finally one day I was doing something. I forget what it was, tightening something and I slid my hand away and sure enough, it pulled it out. No shotgun needed.
So maybe if you just started fixing something.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do something constructive.
Oh, I totally forgot the shotgun picture, but that's okay. We're going to march on to Remember When. I seem to have find all kinds of funny things this week. All right, I'm in the Remember When segment. We found Rocket or Jetpack Mailman. That's right.
He looks like a superhero himself.
That's right. From Paleo Fortune blog, I had to buy stamps recently. It was the worst. Nothing pushes me into full curmudgeon hack mode quite like standing in line at the post office. We're talking Andy Rooney, Dave Barry, Lovechild, super curmudgeon. And don't even get me started on the FedEx. Standing in line is so 20th century. That being said, there's something charming about the antiquated postal service. People literally take letters and packages from one physical place and deliver them to another place. It's pretty darn cute. In 1960, the future of electronic mail was still envisioned as an analog experiment. Arthur Radenbaugh's Closer Than We Think ran a panel on December 25th, 1960, in which physical letters would be opened, scanned, and beamed to space, returned to the Earth, and reproduced, where they would be delivered to their final destination in the form of a small capsule. It was difficult for people to imagine a world without the Postal Service delivering some form of physical media, dead trees or otherwise. On October 4th, 1958, edition of Radenbaugh's syndicated strip, imagine jetpacked mailmen of the future leaping from door to door in Suburbatopia, USA.
I like how the dog is leaping also.
The strip explains that because of the super secret government technology that can't go into detail on how such a rocket pack might work, but rest assured, it will make every mail carrier in town a regular Buck Rogers. The article says, Uncle Sam's mailmen can look forward to going faster, getting farther, and doing so with less effort than ever before. And it will take All it will take will be a device like the recently perfected Rocket Assists, which will be originally developed to help infantrymen.
So it actually came out?
Well, yes, they were originally developed to help infantrymen leap like grasshoppers. Just how such equipment works is still a military secret, and probably still is in 2011. The designer, Reaction Motors Inc., is not permitted to say how large the device is or how long it fires or what kind of fuel it uses, but the best guess is that the rocket fires intermittently, so the wearer can bound from spot to spot as he wishes. It only fires on the up. I'm at 50 feet! Ah! Good luck with the landing. I'm so bummed we don't have rocket-powered mailmen zipping around.
I'm bummed I don't have one myself.
What a
Not the mailman, the jetpack.
And other letdowns that we had from the comic era. I mean, well, not that Closer Than We Think was a comic.
Rocket mailman.
Hey, for me, a lot of these were close. I believed in it.
Oh, absolutely. What we're talking about is 12 letdowns that you may have seen in the comics years ago. Oh, yeah. We all have our favorites, right?
That's right.
Let's not forget the
x-ray specs, for one.
Well, that was the last one. Thanks, you ruined it.
Oh, I was just thinking of, you know, myself.
Right.
Okay.
The alien eye creature obeys your commands, only $2, 7 feet tall. I never saw that. This thing from another world acts as if it was alive. And what was alive were pet baby raccoons, one of America's favorite pets, has always been and still is easy to care for. $29.95 FOB with cage.
How do they ship them?
this is from Hialeah Pets, Department 35, Hialeah, Florida. You know they're going around with pest control going, got another one. Let's sell it for $30.
Yeah, right.
Pet raccoons.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
And I do vaguely remember this one. This is the gas masks, genuine OCD toy gas masks, war surplus, just released by the U.S. government.
I like the title. Boys, look, new toy.
It's my mummy. Because when I played Army, the first thing I always looked for was a gas mask.
Never mind the gun.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be playing Army, don't forget your exploding Army hand grenade.
Exactly.
Why would you sell this to children?
Only a dollar.
Oh my gosh.
You ever hear of the Darwin Awards, Julie?
Remove yourself from the gene pool. Pull this pin.
Here's real battle authenticity. This menacing hand grenade looks and works just like a real one.
All you do is pull the pin, wait 4 seconds, throw the grenade, and watch the fun as it explodes automatically.
Hey, that would be fun. That would be fun. You know, you have or not fun, but you have this little strange kid you invited to your birthday party, and he brings this for the pinata.
Or it's a new game of hot potato.
Not it.
Oh, the music stopped. Who's got it? Billy. That's one less person we need to worry about. More cake for me.
Yeah.
Free $1 million in cash. Fool all your friends. You'll get $1 million worth of laughs with these exact reproductions of U.S. gold banknotes, 1840. They're yours free. It's probably like, what was that called? Confederate currency?
Yeah.
Hey, if I had $1 million, I would laugh at my friends.
Send only 35 cents coin for shipping.
How else would you send 35 cents?
Check.
Guess so.
Now, I had never seen this one, but it captured my eye. Warren Publishing Company proudly presents Genuine Soil from Dracula's Castle.
Prove it.
You know, one of my friends has something like that. She has, like, sand from someplace special in a little glass jar around her neck.
We have a chunk of the Berlin Wall.
You can't put that around your neck. It's too big.
No, it's just a little pebble-sized thing.
Oh, I thought it was like a chunk.
No, it's a piece of the concrete.
Oh, it's in the Tomasi safe.
And my parents have some Mount Vesuvius, like, pumice.
That's where it must have been.
That's where Spock went through Pon Farr, right?
Vesuvius?
Oh, sorry.
All right. And there's the Hypno Coin, which might have been the intro to the That's what the hypnotoad swallowed. New pocket-size invention helps hypnotize in minutes. It must work for you or money back. How much money are we talking
picking up
here?
Chicks.
A dollar.
Here, doll, I'll pay for this.
Hey, plus.
Now, here's a scam right out of the Emperor's New Clothes. The invisible helmet.
Oh, my gosh.
No, there was a story.
Oh, it makes your face invisible. That's how.
Oh, okay. There was a story this last weekend about the Invisible Museum.
Hmm?
Yeah, this lady has set up a museum with nothing in it. It's just supposed to be like, use your imagination.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was a cop-out, too.
What's admission price?
One invisible dollar, I guess. And let us not forget the ever-classic Sea Monkeys.
Yay.
If ever there was a disappointment... Ooh, these were $1.25. No wonder I couldn't afford them.
No, that's including shipping.
A one-year supply of growth food, living plasma, water purifier... Wasn't it just like a bag of brine shrimp in a...
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
In one of those Kool-Aid packets?
Oh, Sea Monkeys, how I miss you. The... Polaris nuclear sub over 7 feet long, just $7. Yeah. Wow, I could have used one of those in my day. Seats two kids, controls that work, rockets that fire, real periscope, firing torpedoes, electronically lit instrument panel.
Wait, didn't we do a story about a guy? No, what would it?
Was
oh,
it?
He
was
won
this?
A spaceship from NASA. That's what I was thinking of. Oh. Sorry.
Was this like certified to any depth?
Well, it kind of floats, so...
This is another creepy...
Two Guinness get in a pond and they die. It's probably some...
Wait, there's a rocket on this?
And as Craig mentioned, the X-ray specs. Scientific optical principle really works. Imagine you put on the X-ray specs and hold your hand in front of you. You seem to be able to look right through the flesh and see the bones underneath. Look at your friend. Is that really his body you see, in quotes, under his clothes? Loads of laughs and fun at parties. Send only a dollar plus 25 cents shipping charges. Or order COD and pay postman on delivery. $1 plus COD shipping charges. Money back guarantee either way.
No, Chuck, you read it wrong. It's $1 plus COD.
God, here's a fish.
Hey, by
the
way.
Call of Duty?
What'd you say? What's that, Julie?
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty!
Oh, boy.
Oh, hey, Julie, Julie.
By the way, I did order a pair.
You ordered X-ray specs.
It kind of worked. What it was you get the plastic glasses, and it's like, not cardboard, but like a cardboard material, and there's like two tiny holes for you to look through. Well, in the holes are these strings. So the strings go straight up and down. And when you do look through it, you know, like you're wearing them, you look through it towards your hand, it does kind of diffuse the image. So it looks like you see your bones because it makes your finger a little bit thinner.
Oh, okay.
It kind of
like when you wake up in the morning, you got sleep in your eye and you can't really see straight.
That's it. No. But no, it's the strings kind of diffuse the image. So you see your finger. But it looks a little thin on the sides, but in
how
the
do you
middle,
explain the seeing underneath clothes?
It just makes everything look smaller.
It doesn't.
No, it just messes with your eyes. It makes the image look smaller, so you think you're seeing inside clothes.
So it works as long as your friend is wearing skin-colored clothes?
I did not look at my friends in fear that it would work. New. But
he stuck to his mom.
I remember sending like quarters or something. I sent a dollar with the quarters.
All right, we're gonna take a real quick break for the media corner and be right back with even more bizarro stuff. Stick with us.
Technorama presents Real Geeks of Genius.
Real Geeks of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Thanks for helping users do battle with day-to-day forces that delete files or create viruses, and securing our networks to keep the baddies out.
Watch out for that hacker!
What would we do with all of those blue screens?
Control-Alt-Delete!
When most of the people are out taking in a movie or having dinner with others, you're there, climbing under desks and into ceilings, pulling countless cables for routing packets that needed routing and keeping the internet up.
Got to have my porn!
For dealing with office politics when it comes to network policy. The only day you take off is when a Star Wars movie is released.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Today, we toast you with this jolt, Mr. System Network Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network Administrator Guy.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
I was just looking at old pictures when I was putting together, thumbing through, looking for pictures of Julie for her graduation party. I came across things from the old podcast expos in 2005, 2006.
Oh, yeah, I see them every once in a while in my picture collection.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
First up in the media corner, we have Iron Man holding down a regular office job. No, not really, but it is funny. This gentleman made an Iron Man costume. One of the original, the gray one, before he had the fancy red one.
Mark 1.
The Mark... That was the model number.
Mark 1.
Wang Kang, age 25, strutted into the office in Shanghai, dresses Iron Man from the 2008 action film. Wearing a costume made of high-density foam, wires, and tubes, the telecoms worker marched through his company's corridors, gathering a crowd as he went.
It looks good, by the way.
Yeah, it does. Mr. Kang spent 3 months creating the suit, which weighs almost 8 stone. Wow! Because I weigh 7 stone. That suit weighs a ton.
No.
How the heck did he walk around?
Maybe well, it's got mechanics in it. Didn't you watch the movie?
Okay. Yeah. And it costs him 3,000 yuan. Yuan. How do you say that? I don't know. About 280 pounds, which would be, what, about $360? The impact, though, must have been worth it. No colleagues knew my mission. Some of them froze and were seeing me approach. Some were even screaming in fear, he said. It's Iron Man. Mr. Kang has since become an internet celebrity after his image of him appeared in costume on June 3rd was posted on a Chinese microblogging site Weibo.com, which is similar to Twitter. That does look pretty good.
By the way, 3 stone is only 42 pounds.
No, he said it weighs
eight stone.
Oh, I thought you said 3. Yeah.
Double that and double it again. Like, that's about 140, 150 pounds. Yikes. That's a lot of weight to carry around. You figure that army soldiers are hauling around 100 pounds, and they're strong.
Take the rest of the day off. But yeah, I thought I immediately thought, oh, this is so Dragon Con.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That'd be an awesome costume.
Yeah.
See if you can get him to come, will you?
From China.
Yeah. All right, we also have a quick clip that we found late in the show. Craig added at the last second. Ferris Bueller's last day off. Now, we had talked about Ferris Bueller's day off before, and this is kind of a spoof. If Ferris Bueller was now 25 years later, and instead of not going to school, he wanted to not go to work.
Yeah.
And he convinces his roommate, but his roommate doesn't really give a crap as long as he does the dishes. And things have changed a bit since Ferris was a kid. They by the way, they got a really good guy to look like Cameron from the movie.
Well, they both kind of look like both of them in the movie.
Yeah. But the Alan Ruck guy is really, really similar.
Yeah.
And instead of grabbing his dad's sports car, they grab his dad's minivan. And the parade is not as big as it used to be. It's more like one old veteran going down a street in a pickup truck. And he gets in trouble for trespassing and whatnot. But we won't ruin the rest of it. It's a nice little short film. Kind of a trailer, if you will. And,
The
Sausage King is actually there, played by a very notable celebrity, one Gilbert Gottfried. And he's all ticked off because... apparently, Ferris has tried this before.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta watch this.
Yeah, it's really funny. All right, I have one thing in the What the Chuck.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Would you eat a burger made from human excrement?
I don't remember them saying excrement, a human excrement in this article.
It is.
Okay.
Japanese extracted protein from human poop.
Oh, maybe I did miss that.
Soy added steak sauce and call it hamburger patties.
You know what? You can't polish a turd.
Mitsuyuki Aikida, the mad scientist behind this foul mashup, says some people may have a psychological aversion to eating fake meat made from poop. Apparently someone thinks he's wrong. All people will have a psychological aversion. Sure. We all make jokes that fast food burgers taste like crap, but we still don't want to actually eat the crap, dude. Aikida, to his credit, created these poop burgers in an effort to be resourceful and recycle human waste. I mean, his intentions are good, and he actually did come out with a product. He realized if he could use sewage mud, which is poop, and it's everywhere, to formulate his burgers, he could be completely efficient. Right now, the burgers cost 10 to 20 times the regular meat because he factors in the research costs, but the price will drop if there's enough demand. Wow.
And after the process, the resulting product is called Shinola.
I think I'll go back to Soylent Green! Julie didn't get it. She never watched Soylent Green. Soylent Green is made from people! People!
I know that spoiler already.
Okay. So, you don't really have to guess if it's poop burgers. I mean, credit to the guy. If you had to go on a long, like, mission in space, something like this might be considered.
Well, have you seen Bear Grylls? He drinks his own pee.
Yeah, after he, you know, lets it sit underground and it kind of a self-evaporator condenser kind of thing.
He did that once. I've seen him pee and drink it more than once. Never mind. I'm going to go there.
All right. Then we will go to the media library. No, the geek library.
The media library. Are you mixing up our segments now?
Yeah. Hybrid, cross-pollinated. The geek library. We have, from IO9, some hilarious haiku comics inspired by Doctor Who. And they've got little panels in here. They're like Doctor Who comic three-panel things. And the captions are, if I could only bring three things to a desert island, all three would be you. And I'd make you all kiss. Second one says, I feel terrible when I let you down. This is from a recent show where... they were trapped inside the alternate TARDIS, or the TARDIS that was taken over by the evil entity, and it was messing with their minds. It says, I feel terrible when I let you down. This is like Rory talking to Amy. And I let you down every single time. And then Rory in the final panel, and maybe you ought to suck it up. Like, wow.
Yeah, that's what I was like, wow.
Go read these. These are pretty funny. And I like the pictures, too. They kind of bring back some good memories.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old William Shakespeare show and whatnot.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good show.
Everything's cool.
Well, that's the new Doctor.
Oh, okay.
That was last season.
Bow ties are cool. Fezzes are cool.
Stetsons are cool.
Yeah.
Stetsons are cool. That brings us to the end of the show.
What?
Any parting comments? Yes, we are done.
That's 45 heavy.
Minutes. Hey, good time. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yeah. What is that Kermit says? Time flies when you're having fun, and time's fun when you're having flies.
Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Think about it. Oops, wrong one. That one!
Hmm.
Okay, we appreciate giving your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call listener line 206-222-CHAT if you're in the U.S. Otherwise, if you're elsewhere, hop out. Oh, just adding Chuck Chat to your Skype listener line. Skype in. You know what to do. It's kind of free, computer to computer. There's an answering machine sitting there listening to you. Or if you want to do the old-fashioned 1980s email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We're around. We're listening. We're here for you. And we'd love to hear your feedback. In fact, we might just give you, like, plus 10 geek points or something for feedback. That'd be fun, right? And then sure. You can work your way up from, you know, podcast user to...
Is there some kind of way to keep track of all these geek points, or is it just an honor system?
I'm going to keep track. How's that? I'll have a spreadsheet or a database or something. We'll have it out there for you.
Hey, and we'll give it an API, and anybody can query it.
I'm there. Craig's programmer. He's good.
Yeah.
What else have we got? We have, donations to the tip jar, obviously. Thank you very much for all the people who give the monthly micropayments. Or review on iTunes. We haven't seen one of those in millennia or two. Love to see them there. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing the great blog content. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. And our chat room, provided by ThinStack.net. Oh, is it probably not too early to mention we will be at Dragon Con this year? So, if you're going to be there, look us up. We're setting up the schedule now. We want to know who's going to be around, where we can do some meetups. Looking forward to it. We still have some articulating to do on that. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. If you haven't found something there, go check them out. I'm sure you'll find something you enjoy. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Thank you very much, Julie, for joining us.
No problem.
Who's going to do the 101 this week?
I'll let Julie do it.
All right.
Give me a binary high five.
101.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go. The sketch is over. Go home.